You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
We're teaching on the book of Colossians, and we have been for several weeks now, and we're in the the latter part of the third chapter, going into the fourth chapter, talking about relationships. Now, I'm just a Bible teacher. I just take the Word, Scripture, you know, verse by verse, and we just take it apart and digest it and chew on it and try to make it practical. In this third chapter, Paul is talking to the church at Colossae, which is a town that was a prominent town at one time, but in the time that Paul was writing, it had lost its prominence. There was a big trade route that went through the city that changed, and it went a little further away from the city. It's kind of like having a railroad coming through your town, and towns pop up on a railroad, and then they build the freeway, you know, and then the railroad towns kind of die down. Kind of like Will's Point, in one sense. It was the town, you know, because it's on the railroad. Now it's not quite as prominent, you know, as it used to be, but it's still blessed because we're here. Thank God for Will's Point, Elmo Frog, and Points Unknown, Edgewood, and all those towns. But he was writing to this church to encourage them. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. But they had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, which makes us all one. There's no distinction in Christ. You know, there's old, young, rich, poor, black, white. There's no such thing as all these designer-type churches that we have. There's just the church. That's why I'm always quick to mention other churches when I talk about our church. We have a call and a mission, and we have a race that we're running. But we're not in competition with other churches. We don't compete with them. We actually complete them. And they complete us. So we don't compete, we complete. Thank God for other churches. There will always be other churches. If they name the name of Jesus and they're part of the Christian family, we ought to rejoice with them in their victories and pray for them in their tragedies and hook up with them when we can. And, you know, because we're one big family, hallelujah, whose head is Jesus, the head of the body. So he's writing to them. He talks about letting the word of Christ dwell in them richly. He talks about doing everything they do in word or deed in the name of the Lord Jesus or as a representative of Jesus. I think that's real important because you hear about holiness or holy living. I believe in holy living. I believe in living right, but not to be saved. I'm not trying to impress anyone. I'm trying to represent someone.
Yeah, come on.
Are you with me? We are ambassadors for Christ, and so I want people to see the Lord in me. I have the freedom to do whatever I want to, sure. I'm saved by my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but my walk will affect others, whether they see Jesus in me or not, and it'll affect my growth. I would like to grow in God. How about you?
Yes.
And I got a ways to go. So I got no stones to throw, yet I realize also I need to serve God to hone off some edges and, you know, get rid of some of those kinks. And you know, I used to have kinky hair. Do you know that? Yeah, I just thought when I said kinks, it just the way my mind works. And no, it really was. I didn't perm it. It just was, you know, back in the day, B.C., before Christ. Yeah, I had long hair. When it was wet, it came down the middle of my back, you know, when it was wet. And when it was dry, it just went like this. But I lost the hair and the curl and everything. And okay. Let's move on rather quickly from that. So he talks about representing Jesus and doing everything we do in word and deed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says there in that 17th verse. And we covered several verses after that. And it's interesting that we represent Jesus and our Christian life consists of relationships. I think that's interesting. You know, we talk about going to church, we should. Reading our Bible, we should. Pray, of course. But our service in serving God is not necessarily being a missionary to India. Thank God for missionaries in India. We're a mission-minded church. We support missions. I've been around the world preaching the gospel. I believe in all that. The scripture's plain. But where most of us serve God, and me included, is in marriage, family, business. Hello. Watching football. How do we handle ourselves? You know what I'm saying. You know, that's relationships. That's whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he starts naming off these little hats we wear. You know, he says, wives, submit to your husbands. And I'd like to just stop right there. But we talked about that last week, and all the men said amen. Of course, that's not dictatorship. That's totally different story altogether. We talked about that in detail last week. Goes on and says, husband, love your wives. Amen. You know, and then it talks about fathers, you know, don't provoke your children to wrath. Children, obey your parents. And so it's talking about family. It's interesting. He just got through saying, represent me. Represent me. Do everything you do in word or deed. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the peace of God rule, he says that. And then he gets into all this. Because whatever it is that you do, if you're married and you have children or you have parents or whatever the case may be, you know, that's the bulk of your life. Hello. Unless you have, you know, you have other family, I understand that. But that's where you serve God. That's where you represent the Lord. God forbid I'd go around the world and my family would go to hell. I mean, I say this often, but I mean it, and I'm not bragging at all, but because it's Brenda, not me, but all my children are serving God, and that to me is better than having gone around the world and India and Guatemala and El Salvador and, you know, Australia and Hawaii and rough place, Hawaii. But anyway, Great Britain and South Africa and different places. I've gone around the world, you know, and preach around the world. No, my children are serving God. That's my greatest mission field. As my greatest mission field. Maybe yours aren't, but you can pray for them. I mean, they're never too old for you to pray. But center in on them. That's where you really have the greatest opportunity to show changes in your character, in your improvements in your integrity, in your compassion, and your love. I love Brenda. I love her. I love my children. I hug them, and I tell them I love them. I don't care how old they get. Amen. You know, they'll be my babies all to the rest of their life. You know, that's just the way it is, and they understand. They love me back and hug me too, you know. Chris is 37. What the hell is Chris?
He'll be
37 next month. And he's still my baby. And I still tell him I love him, and I still hug him, and, you know, he's back there right now laughing at me and editing this video. But anyway, Jonathan, you know, always be my baby. I get tickled. You know, mamas, you're always their baby. I don't care. You know, you go talk to mama, and I'll start talking to mama. And I'm talking about my grandkids, okay? And here's the way she looks at it. Oh, that Dylan, he looks just like you did when you were that high. You know, everything's related to when I was just a kid, because I'm still her baby, you know. Always will be. I can always run to mama, you know, and... Okay, so enough of all that. Let's quit reminiscing here. Wives, husbands, children, fathers, and then he says, 22nd verse, 3rd chapter, bondservants, and of course we don't have slaves today, but you could say employees, employers, a relationship where you have someone over you, a boss. And he says here in the 22nd verse, bondservants, obey in all things, employees, and obey in all things your masters or employers according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, pleasing God. Now, that's important. Today, everybody wants to assert their rights. Everybody wants to, you know, get their due. But if you hire on a job, you hired on a job. You gave a person your word that you'd be there on a certain time and do a certain job and leave a certain time, and you need to honor that. And that's just right. That's being a Christian. That's being a witness. Many times we think we're witnessing, telling people about Jesus, but we're living our life so loud, they can't hear what we're saying. Amen. That went over real big. But he says, with eye service. You know, I had a guy, superintendent, that I worked for. For years, I built industrial cooling towers. It was carpenter work, high. We worked up high. And I've done construction for years, and carpenter work, plumbing work, did all kinds of construction. But this one certain superintendent, his name was J.C. Dawson. And J.C. didn't stand for Jesus Christ either. But anyway, not at that time. I worked for two different supervisors, and, you know, eventually both of them got saved. In fact, J.C. became a pastor. But at this time, he was not. And when we'd work on that job, he was constantly checking on us. He would look, you know, and we called him Bird Dog Dawson. If you ever worked in the world, you know, to bird dog someone is to, you know, just check on them constantly, watching them, you know, checking and seeing. And of course, if we knew Bird Dog Dawson was watching, if we knew he was on the prowl, on the hunt, we'd go to work, man. I'm telling you, we work hard. But that's what God is saying. Don't just be a worker with eye service, you know, when you're being bird dogged, as it were. But work as unto the Lord who sees you all the time.
Right.
Who's always watching. Don't just work harder when the boss shows up. Work, do the best you can do all the time because the Lord sees everything that we do. And that's being a Christian. See, being a Christian is working hard. Being a Christian is being a dependable employee. Someone who can be depended on. Someone who is faithful. Someone who does their work, goes the second mile. That's just part of being a witness. Then see if you have an opportunity to tell someone about the Lord or pray with someone. You know what? You'll have their ear. You have the right now to speak into their lives. You've earned that right.
That's right.
They'll listen. Sometimes we haven't earned the right to speak into people's lives.
Yeah.
People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Amen?
Right.
And as far as an employee is concerned, you know, your boss watches you. If he sees you're a hard worker, and you know, he's going to listen to you. You can begin to witness and pray for your boss. That's a new concept. Pray for your boss instead of all that other stuff you're doing for your boss. You know. It's easy to armchair quarterback the job or armchair quarterback the government. Did I hit a hot spot there? You know, whether you agree or don't agree, and I don't agree with a lot that goes on in our government. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of stuff that I'm diametrically opposed to, but I'm under a mandate to pray for leaders. Yeah, got two amens there. Mm-hmm. We're Christians. That means something. Amen? Sure, we got opinions, and we can vocalize those opinions, but we're still under a mandate to do the right thing. And I can't change the world, but I can change me. I can't make everybody else do right, but I can do right.
Yes.
I can't clean everybody else's backyard, but I can start on mine.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't need y'all to amen me on that one, but anyway, that's okay. So he says, obey in all things your masters or employers according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. I know you're thinking, man, I'm in church and you're talking about going to work. Well, you're in church and we're reading the scripture that talks about going to work. A lot of times we try to over-spiritualize things, make things so spiritual that they don't even connect to our daily lives. You know, I'm cautious even when I'm up here ministering that I don't get into a sing-song tone of voice. You know, that I don't talk differently up here than I would if I were talking to you. I get excited, and that's fine. I can get a little preachy, and that's fine. I can sling my arms and spit cotton and run from side to side. We can do that, you know. So, and every once in a while, a preach will get on me, as it were. But we don't need to separate spiritual things from our daily life. You need to know that when you go out here and you stand on the Word, you don't have to work it up. You don't have to change the tone of your voice. You don't have to get into some sing-song, oh, thee, oh, God, oh, you know, great, whatever, G-A-W-D, God. He's the Lord. He's your Father. You can talk to Him. He knows about your East Texas accent. Thank God He knows mine, you know. Are you with me? And he wants a relationship, and He wants you to talk to Him, and He wants to talk to you. But you don't have to play it up. Are you with me? So, what we want to do is in our regular daily practical living, daily life, serve God. Be dependable. Be a man or a woman of character. Be someone that does what you say. Amen? Be someone that helps people, loves people. And that's being a Christian. That's what the Scripture says about being a Christian. And he goes on and says in the 23rd verse, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That'll keep you out of frustration. You know, I know when we built this building years ago, I spent hours down here. Many of us spent hours down here, 12, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I mean, we built this building. We had the metal erected, but we built the inside. And we just subbed out very minimal amount of things. Even the concrete, we had it poured. We just got a skeleton crew to pour it, and we pulled the mud, the concrete. We built the forms. We got it all set up, and we helped them pull the mud and had a crew come finish it. It was Henry's brother's crew came and finished this slab in 1985, I think, is when we got it poured. Yeah, 1985. I was 10 years old, but I was out here. Well, anyway, we worked a lot of hours on this, and it could be a little frustrating because, you know, you're doing it yourself, and, oh, it just takes forever. It's volunteer. You have a lot of people sometimes. You have very few people sometimes. People work. They've got jobs. And one thing I remember we used to say all the time is, hey, we're doing this for the Lord. We're doing this for the Lord. Because sometimes tempers will flare a little bit. Maybe somebody didn't do something just right. But it's volunteers. You can't fire anybody. You just got to work with it, you know. And so we did. But it kept our attitude straight. It'll do that on the job. It'll keep you in good spirits on a job if you'll say, I'm doing this for the Lord. You may have an employer and you're getting a check, but you are a Christian, so you're being watched all the time by the Lord in a good way. He's not waiting for, he's not the great policeman of the sky waiting to pass out a ticket when you, you know, break the law. I mean, he sees the good that you do along with the bad. I mean, he sees it all. So let's just live a life with that consciousness that God's watching, and we're excited to work for Him.
That's good.
To represent Him. Hallelujah. So whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Man, you ought to wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. Psalms 118, verse 24 tells us that. And we ought to rejoice in this day.
Right.
You ought to say, oh, you ought to say, good morning, not good Lord, it's morning.
Right.
You ought to say, good morning, Lord. You know, two ways you can look at that thing. Hallelujah. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Yes, you're doing it for this person. Yes, you're doing it for this company. But ultimately, you're doing it for the Lord. You're building your witness. You're building your rapport, as it were. You're building up a right, some authority to speak into people's lives. And, you know, people notice that. Hallelujah. Knowing, 24th verse. Oh, hallelujah, somebody, if we get a hold of this one. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ.
Amen.
Well, people don't appreciate me. Well, they don't always appreciate me either. Sometimes they have a right not to appreciate me, but sometimes I do the right thing and they still don't appreciate me. But you know something? God sees and God appreciates, and God will reward me. And maybe I won't get it here, and maybe I won't get it there, but I'll get it somewhere because God will take care of it.
Amen.
I can remember when I first started preaching out some in 19... I first started preaching out a long time ago.
78.
Well, 78, yeah, 79, 80. I was thinking about 1980. I went preached for one summer. I went to Louisiana. I mean down in South Louisiana, down below Houma, Chauvin, and Terrebonne Parish. Down where they call it to buy you because they come by your house. I preached there, and then I went across to Georgia, and I preached in Colquitt, Georgia. And then I preached in Crystal River, Florida, and Jacksonville, Florida. And I was gone about 2 weeks. I took Chris with me. It was in the middle of the summer. He was six at that time. And anyway, I went to one church, little bitty church, you know. A bunch of Catholics had gotten turned on watching PTL. Y'all remember PTL years ago? They were watching PTL and started a... kind of branched off and started a Protestant church. Now, God bless Catholics and Protestants. I'm not comparing. But they had a church. They called it St. Paul Christian Church. And the name of the pastor was Leroy Champagne. He had a shrimp boat. He was just really... It's a different world, you know, in some parts of Louisiana. So I went down there and preached a little bitty church, you know. And it was meeting in his house. And it was packed out. People everywhere. And I just got a phenomenal offering, which I don't preach for money. I don't ask for money. I don't ask for expenses, you know. I never do that. I just preach, you know, unto the Lord. That's what I'm called to. So you don't even pay me here. You know, I'm on an offering basis here. Have been for 29 years. But I was there, and I got this great offering. I went to Colquitt, Georgia, a decent offering, and Crystal River, Florida. I got to Jacksonville, this huge church in Jacksonville. I preached there on a Sunday night, and then I ministered to their television department, other counselors and everything. I spent a couple days there ministering. Big church. I didn't get enough money to even pay gas from that church. But I'm not bitter. Okay. No, I did. I'm not bitter. I don't know what went on there. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I got more from that little bitty church that just started by just trusting God. I mean, I went with enough money to get to the first place. I really did not have enough money to get to the next place. You know, that's years ago. But anyway, God will reward you. He'll make sure some way, somehow it comes. If it doesn't come here, it'll come somewhere else. Don't be bitter toward people. Yeah. Don't do that. Amen. You work as unto the Lord, and you ought to be happy to do it. You ought to be excited to do it. You're going to do jobs where they do you right. You're going to get on jobs where they don't do you right. That just happened. But if your eyes are on the Lord, then hey, it's all going to work out. Praise God.
Right.
In fact, Hebrews 6:10 says that He is not unrighteous to forget your labor and work of love, which you have shown toward His name and have ministered to the saints. He sees everything that you do. So don't sing that old song, "Nobody Knows the Trouble I See." I'm Charlie Brown, everybody's always picking on me. No, no, no. God knows. He loves you. He's for you. And if God be for you, who could be against you?
That's right, man.
See, you got to get this straight. God is crazy. He's crazy about you. He absolutely loves you. Sent His Son to die for your sins. If He had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it.
Praise God.
Right. I mean, it'd be there. You know, because He loves you that much. This idea of this ogre with a stick, this policeman in the sky. Sure, He is the moral governor of the universe, but our sins have been forgiven if we've called on the Lord. And He wants us to grow. And He doesn't like it when we sin. He hates sin, but He doesn't hate us. Amen? So, in the mundane, okay, in the daily grind, this is where your faith comes out. Okay, you're going through the motions. You're going to work. You get up. You do this day in, day out. Man, you feel like you're spinning your wheels. Don't you feel that way? God sees everything you do. Thank God for the job you got. Thank God for that paycheck that comes in. Do your best for whoever it is you're working for.
Amen.
If they recognize you, fine. If they don't, God does.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. So you do it as unto the Lord, knowing this, 24th verse, that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. I like that. You know what? My marriage is about Jesus. My family is about Jesus. If I work on a job, it's about the Lord. I mean, it's what I do. I am a Christian. He has chosen this way to provide for me. That's a good thing. I work for Him.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
25th verse. But he who does wrong, now keep this in mind, will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So if you do wrong, it's going to come back to you just like good will come back to you. So if we are farmers and all of our deeds and all of our words are planting seeds, then I want to be a little more cautious about the deeds because they're seeds. I want to be cautious about the words because they're seeds. And the Bible's very plain, Galatians 6:7, whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Well, you can make that out to a very positive and very good verse. You can start sowing good. You can start praying for your job. You can start praying for your boss. You can start doing the best you can on that job. And you know what? You're going to reap that.
That's right.
Are you kidding? They won't notice it. Hey, God will notice it. That's the whole point. God will notice it. I mean, you'll get to Starbucks and they'll give you a free drink. Just out of the blue.
Praise God.
I don't know why I thought about Starbucks. I think about Starbucks a lot. So does Brenda every time she talks about saving money. I don't know why she has to bring that up every time, but I love her. Because I have to. That's what the Bible says to do. So. And I fear God, and I fear Brenda. But anyway. Yeah. Kind of in that order, yeah. Fourth chapter, first verse. Now this is interesting because sometimes when you're reading, you think the story's over, okay? Third chapter, boom, stop. Now we're going to start up something else. But actually, the thought still continues. He's talking about the very same thing. He goes from wives to husbands to children to father to employees or bondservants to masters to employers. So the thought doesn't stop. In fact, chapter divisions weren't in the original. When Paul wrote this letter to the Colossians, it was just a letter, like you'd read a letter. How many letters do you get from people that are divided in chapters and verses? You know, you don't. You just read the letter. But if it's something that you continually refer back to, for convenience, chapters are put in there so we could remember, instead of just Colossians, it was Colossians 1, 2, or 3, or 4. But they're man-made. God didn't put the chapters in. They actually came in, if you want to know the truth, about 1205 by a guy named Lankford, or Langton, without the S. Might have been related to you, Eva. Langston could have been. Never know. But 1205, but the verses didn't come in to about 1560, the Geneva Bible, which is before the King James Bible. Now, take that out there and you get somebody saved. Just tell them those dates. They'll fall down and give glory to God just from knowing that information. But I'm glad we have these chapters and these verses because you can find what you read. But that's all it is. They're not anointed and they're not inspired. The chapters and the verses, the spirit of it is. So the thought continues. He's talking about wives, husbands, children, fathers. employees, and now employers or masters, fourth chapter, first verse. Masters, give your bond servants, just think employers, give your employees what is just and fair. Just and fair. So really, as a Christian, I should, when I hire someone, give them what's fair. You know, I try to do that even in the church. If we have someone come do a job or sub out a job, I'm quick to say, and I always say this, because I know these businesses get hammered by poor mouth pastors and poor mouth preachers and poor mouth churches wanting that minister's discount and, hey, we're doing this for the Lord. I'm always quick to say, look, you know, just give me your best deal, whatever it is. I know you got to make money. I know you got employees to pay. Give me a straight up deal. You know, give me a bid on this. I'm not asking if you do anything special for the church. That's your choice. With you, I'm just asking for a bid. I know a lot of you are thinking, Pastor, you really do that? Think all the money you could have saved. Yeah, and all the enemies we'd have made. Said all the friends we make. And I'm always quick to do that. I don't go try to get ministers' discounts. I mean, if they offer it and say it, well, sure. Call me Jimmy. I'll take all you give me. But I'm not. But that's not my place to just always poor mouth. Hello? I mean, people are in business. They have to make money. They have a job. They have employees. They have equipment. They've got all these things. They've got a bottom line, too. And so I've always been quick. Now, a lot of people have given us discounts. I understand that. But we've never asked. I'm not going to do that. Are you with me? I'm a Christian, praise God. Church ought to be out of debt. The church ought to be helping a community, not trying to get something out of the community. We ought to be here giving to the community. You know, we do our Hallelujah Night, and we spend a few $1,000s on candy and prizes, and we don't charge for those kids to come. We don't have a ticket price. They don't pay for anything. We go through 4,000 hot dogs and hot dog buns and Cokes. I don't know how many. Just all kinds of things we give away. Cotton candy and popcorn. And we haven't got to Starbucks yet. I'm still working on that one. But regular coffee. But people come out and you know what? They bring their kids and they have a great time and they hear about the Lord and every booth's about Jesus and the music's about the Lord. And you know, we've gotten a great name in our community for doing that. And not trying to solicit money. There are a couple of businesses that come by and make donations. We don't ask for them.
That's right.
We do not ask for them. People try to give us money at the gate. We don't take it.
That's right.
We won't take it. No, we're here to bless you. We want to bless the community. Hello.
Amen.
Now, an employer ought to be that way with his or her employees. You ought to do the right thing. Pay them for the service that they are working. Give them vacation, and if you can afford insurance, not everybody can do that. Do that if you can. See what's happening with our government because people aren't doing that. You know, the government tries to take over really the job. If you don't know the truth, the government's trying to take over the job of the church.
That's right. That's right.
The church's job is to help communities and help the poor and help people. It's not the government's job. You know, the rich have always taken care of the poor. Always been that way. There's some rich that are not right. There's some that are right. Don't develop a prejudice toward rich people. But what the government has come in and done, I'm not talking about any regime, Republican, Democrat, or present or past president. I'm just talking about in general what the government has done has now made the rich give to the poor, which they've always done, except now they have to do it. And now we've gotten rid of those two great virtues. One is called charity. We help people because we love them and we want to help them. Now we have to do it. And the other one's called gratitude.
Yeah.
No one's grateful. They demand it. They don't even say thank you. Isn't it a great world we live in? Where what always had been done is being done, but now it's law. And everybody's mad about it. The rich are mad about giving. The poor demand they get it. Now, see, the church should be doing that.
Right.
Church ought to be helping people and pointing to Jesus and pointing to the Lord.
Right.
You know, and saying the Lord loves you. It's because of Him we're doing this.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. You ought to be helping the poor. We all ought to help the poor that really need it, the ones that really need it. I'm not saying go help those that don't. Okay. So let me get off my political soapbox.
Amen.
Masters or employers, give your bondservants or employees what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Hey, watch how you treat people because it comes back to you. If you're merciful, the Bible says he's merciful to the merciful. Doesn't that make sense? So if I'm going to be merciful, then I'm going to get mercy. If I'm going to be hard, it's going to be hard on me. Man, if you could just get a hold of that, everything you do comes back. Yeah. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you is what Jesus said.
Yeah.
Why is that? Because that's the best thing for you is to help others.
That's right.
Put others first, God will put you first.
Yeah.
Reach out to others, God will reach out to you. Put your hand in their business in helping them, and God will put his hand in your business in helping you.
That's right.
You know, we have a fundraising program in this church. It's called Missions. We've never taken a special offer for a building or concrete or chairs or carpet. We've never had that. We've never done that. We've never done a pledge or a fundraiser. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, if churches do it, that's fine. But we just never felt led to do that. We started increasing our missions and giving to others. And the more we give to others, the more comes to us. We've gone right through some pretty tough economic times, and we're out of debt.
Amen.
And we started a whole new ministry a year ago. And now feeding, 70, 75 families a week, getting to provide food for them and praying for those people. And you know what? It's been no strain on the church. Financially, it's no strain. We've kept all of our missions giving up that we do. We have fixed giving that we do every month. And we've just given and given and given. We've reached out to people, and God has reached out to us. We've made other people our business. He's made us his business. Now, if you have a business, do your best to help your employees as best you can within means and within reason. You should do what's fair. You should do what's just. They're your greatest asset. They're not a number. Are you with me? Sure is quiet in here. Masters, give your bondservants what is just and fair, knowing that you also have a master in heaven, because we all work for him. Amen? Continue earnestly in prayer. This is what gets me, because this shift he makes here, he talks to all of us, whether we're wives, husbands, children, employers, employees. He says, continue in earnestly in prayer, being vigilant. Being vigilant in it with thanksgiving.
Amen.
I love that. I think it says watching prayer. In a King James Version, I like to pray with my eyes open sometimes. I want to see what's going on. You know, the Bible talks about watching and praying many times. In fact, Jesus lifted his eyes to heaven many times. His eyes were open. It's not the position of your body or your eyes. It's the position of your heart. But we ought to be praying about all these things. You ought to continue earnestly and vigilant. Okay, I'm fixing to close this message out. I'm telling you. Okay, getting tongue tangled. Okay, is there another word in another translation
alert.
For that? Huh?
Alert.
Alert. Yes, be alert, of course. Be vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Everyone say thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
Okay, God hears you when you pray, so take some time to thank him, you know. He hears you when you turn it over to him. It may not look like it, you may not feel any different, but God is moving nonetheless. So thank him. Always in your prayer and thanksgiving. We ought to say thank you. You have his word on it. He'll do it. Hadn't happened yet, maybe. You don't see it. But you know what? He said he'd do it.
Yes, he did.
If someone came up to me and said they would go to Starbucks and get me one,
yes.
I would say thank you.
Amen.
Okay. Although they're not back yet. Although I don't have it in hand, the aroma of that triple grande, one splenda latte. Ooh. But anyway. I'm not smelling it. I'm starting to feel it, though. Nothing's changed, but I have their word on it. And it's civil. It's decent. It's the right thing to do to say thank you. Thank you. We've prayed. We've turned this over to the Lord, whether it's wives, husband. Oh, God, we need to turn our wives over to the Lord. And husbands. And am I going too fast for you? Okay, because you're not getting. I'm putting a lot into this, and you're not getting it. But anyway, we ought to pray about all that, and you know what? We ought to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you hear me. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to do what you say. Oh, it doesn't look like, but I don't feel it. But God, I know your word's true. I know you're going to do what you say. I know you watch over me. I know you see everything I do. I know you're seeing all my my good works when everybody else doesn't see it, the extra time I put on the job or help these employees, well, they're not appreciative, but you are, Lord, you see it. And Lord, I'm just praying for them. I'm praying for my wife, praying for my husband, praying for my children, praying for my parents, I'm praying for my job. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to continue in prayer and lift all this up, God, because it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about me being a better husband. It's all about me being a better daddy and a better employee or employer. It's because I'm a Christian. It makes a difference. Amen. I want people to see you in me, Lord. I want them to see you in my marriage. I want them to see you in my business. I want them to see you in my family. Lord, I pray. I pray over my family. I pray. And that's what he's saying. Don't ever leave this out. All these little, you know, deeds we talked about and steps to take. You better pray. Praise over it. It overshadows all of them. And it helps us get there on time. And it helps us be better husbands and wives and so on and so forth. Because, really, it's all about him. We'll look at all this as an old tale one day. This building will pass away. Your body will pass away. Jane's gone on to be with the Lord. We remember her in this life, but you know, she's very much alive. She just left here and stepped off into glory. And she is she's shouting the victory. I'm telling you what, she never looked so good. Never sounded so good. Then right now, this moment, because see, she stepped out of this life into the next. This is a passing thing. This is a short trip down here. Heaven's high, hell is hot, life is short. We got one shot at this deal, that's it. And you know what? Jane's made her choice and she's in heaven, praise God. And in that we rejoice. We take comfort in that. That day's coming for all of us. It'll come to every single one of us. But we've got hope, praise God. We've got God, our Father, is going to receive us. Hallelujah. And he watches all that we do and sees all that we do. So let's live for him, amen? In a practical, simple way, manner, let's live for God. Whatever it is we do, do as unto the Lord. Not to men, but to God. Amen.